This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Let's go around the NFL to keep you in the loop. This is Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, Texans might not do it, but J.J. Watt is. Stephon Diggs making a public appearance. It's the J.J. Watt Charity Classic. I believe it is May 4th. Here is the roster. Starting with the Texas legends, and these are the real legends. Texans legends. J.J. Watt, Andre Johnson, Brian Cushing, D'Amico Ryans, Shane Leckler, Jonathan Joseph, Antonio Smith, T.J. Yates, Kareem Jackson, Glover Quinn, Owen Daniels, and Kevin Walter.
It's a squad.
That's a squad.
J.J.'s got the legends, huh?
Yeah.
Figgy ain't going to be judging tailgates with this group. I promise you that.
I do wonder what Arian
Maybe
Foster
Kevin
said.
Maybe Kevin Walter.
I do wonder what Arian Foster said when they asked him, though. He's like, nah, I'm just going to stay in the house. I like staying in the house.
Arian's had an interesting take yesterday. He said he doesn't like going out anymore.
Yeah. That's why I'm wondering. I'm like, hey,
I seen another interesting take from him. He did a poll and said, do black folks like pretzels?
Yeah, pretzels. Do you like pretzels?
I like pretzels, yeah.
Do you like pretzels?
I'm never going to pick it. Like, only on a plane, only if it's all this available.
I mean, but I'm not going to the grocery store to get them.
Like, you're not going in. I've always said, you're not going in, white or black, you're not going in a gas station and your dad telling you as a kid, hey, you can get a bag of chips and a drink, or you can get a snack and a drink, and you're picking pretzels.
As a kid or as an adult, me and my dad could go in the store right now. He'll pick up the tab, whatever I want. Just put it on the counter. It will not be pretzels.
Yeah, that has never happened. There will never be a time where I grab a bag of bland-ass pretzels.
No.
I remember getting stoned with my friend KB talking about this, and I was like, pretzel? Who buys pretzels at the gas station? Who's doing that?
No, the only. Like, I do like the honey pretzels.
If you're going to give me a mix or something, you can put some pretzels in some Gardettos or whatever. We can get down.
Yeah. Like, how many snacks do you have to be out of for me to go pretzels?
Yeah.
You got to be out of all the chips, all the sweets. Like,
you like hot pretzels?
All of the nuts, Paul. Oh. Like, cashews, everything else. Like,
what about Auntie Annie's?
Yeah, I mess with Auntie Annie's.
Yeah.
I mess with Auntie Annie's.
Pretzel dogs?
Yeah, I'll do those. The pretzel dogs go in.
The saw pretzels?
Hey, those pretzel dogs got a little something in them. I don't know if it's heroin or what, but it's got something in them that is really addictive inside
amazing,
of here.
Dude.
I don't know what it is, but I could eat like 50 of them.
H-E-B had some, but it's not like Auntie Annie's, but they got some pretzel dogs that go in. So current Texans taking on the legends. Stephon Diggs on the roster. How about that? J.J. Watt can get him to be public front and center. Texans can't. No press conference. C.J. Stroud. Will Anderson. Tank Dell. Let's coach the bases, please. John Weeks. Laremy Tunsil. Titus Howard. Let's coach the other base, please. Jimmy Ward. Kyami Fairbairn. Case Keenum. Jalen Petrie. Dalton Schultz. Nico Collins. Daniil Hunter. I mean, good Lord, J.J. Bringing out the whole squad.
Mean,
golly.
Yeah.
Man.
He pulled out all the stops.
Jeez.
Even got the new guy on there, Stephon Diggs.
And Daniil Hunter.
Yeah. Well, Daniil Hunter, we've seen. We know Daniil Hunter.
Hope they don't
available.
Play too hard, man.
Man. I don't know. There's
y'all
a lot of guys
just take
on
it easy.
Squad. Yeah, just be easy on it. Goodness gracious, JJ. This is going to be May 4th. going to be at Constellation Field in Sugar Land, the J.J. Watt Charity Classic.
Don't sprint too hard.
Go get some tickets if you want. How much do these tickets cost? How much do you think these cost?
Ooh. Well, for charity?
About 20.
I'd say 50.
Ooh, 50.
50 bucks.
I mean, it's for a charitable cause. Yeah. You got all of these celebrities in there playing. Like, I'm going to say 50. Stephon Diggs, by the way, he is slowly becoming a softball, Houston softball.
This is second one.
Charity legend. Like, this is his thing. He did the Cactus Jack thing. Is that what Travis Scott called it?
The
Cactus Jack, softball classic or whatever it was. Now he's doing this one. That's the second one in less than, 6 months?
Damn, man.
Pretty good.
This ticket. Good Lord, JJ.
$50?
I told you. Crazy?
80?
Right above the dugout, $250.
Oh, JJ.
$250, man, all along. Then we
at least
got,
that's above the dugout.
We got section six right there, first baseline, $150.
Bruh, it's for charity.
You want to sit in section 11, dugout box, $45. We got some 25s in the outfield and some 20s in the grass. That's good. Okay. It's going towards charity.
Yeah, that's sound like a regular game to me.
At least he's bringing some heavy hitters. Boy, $250. My goodness.
Yeah, man. I'm gonna have to figure out some connections for that one. $250.
These events just don't know. You know what I want to request? Because you know he's going to be there. Need Mark Berman working just for this night. That needs to be the special guest. He needs to have Mark Berman doing the interviews between innings. Mark Berman coming out of retirement. I'm going to suggest this right now.
Well, I wouldn't mind Mark Berman calling balls and strikes. I don't know if he's tall enough, actually, to be the home plate umpire. Mark Berman?
Yes.
But I wouldn't mind seeing him out
there.
Have
him throw the first pitch.
There you go. There you go.
Let's make Et M. Berman. The hell is Berman on Twitter?
Did he change? Does it not say Fox no more?
I think he took that off.
Yeah. My M. Berman, Mark Berman. One of those.
There it is, at Mark Berman.
Nah, but I think that would be a nice little touch, nice little flavor to it. Add some more local legends. So you can get John McClane out there to say play ball.
Nah, he's done enough.
He has. But see, Berman doesn't want the attention, man. He doesn't want the attention. He just wants to be cool.
All right, there you go. Come out of retirement.
I'd be with this, though. I'd be with this Mark Berman. Any kind of Mark Berman, first pitch, play ball, let him ump. I could go down with that. Somebody, yeah. Hey, this is a nobody's talking about from the 832. John Weeks could be on both teams.
Yeah, that was a joke when D'Amico did his pictures.
Yeah. But, I mean, this is a new way of looking at it. He could play, like, which softball team does he play on?
Good. We have some news in the NFL involving wide receivers and voluntary workouts. Two of the biggest names in the game not voluntarily working out. Here's Ian Rapoport with the report.
CeeDee Lamb, the star receiver for the Dallas Cowboys, who no doubt he is not present in Dallas. No surprise, he will remain away until at least he gets the money that he believes that he deserves. Similar situation for Justin Jefferson, the Minnesota Vikings star receiver. He also is not at voluntary offseason conditioning.
Man, wide receiver problems. Can't relate. All of our wide receivers are fed and happy.
I kind of wonder, like, if there's a wide receiver that's pissed next year, and let's say it's Jefferson or CeeDee Lamb, and you look at the Texans' wide receiver position, Noah Brown's coming off the books. Robert Woods is coming off the books. Nico Collins is coming off the books. Stephon Diggs is coming off the books. It's going to be the final year of C.J. Stroud on a rookie deal. Could the Texans eventually be that team that trades for the disgruntled receiver in his prime? Not Diggs past his prime, but you saw the Bills do it with Josh Allen. You saw the Dolphins do it with Tua. Like, if they're like let's say Jefferson doesn't get his deal and he's ticked off, do we see a situation where perhaps the Texans are in this market, or do you just stay away from that?
I mean, I think the market that you saw this year, this offseason, tells you that. I understand you saying Diggs passes prime, whatever, like, it doesn't necessarily compare, but I feel like that's the same mentality. Like the same mentality that says, hey, we got going into next year, we got Nico Collins and Tank Dell under contract. Let's go get Stephon Diggs anyway. Before that, let's go get Keenan Allen anyway. It didn't work out, but they...
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
I'm talking big. I'm talking a Tyreek Hill. But I'm talking a Stephon Diggs in his prime.
It's
I'm
the same mentality. To me, it's the exact same thing.
It's like, not the same.
No, to me, if you're going to go get Stephon Diggs and add him to two wide receivers that are arguably close to being number ones already, and then you're losing two of those guys, going to go get one, to me, is basically the same thing. CeeDee Lamb paired with Tank Dell, a move like that, to me, is not that much different than taking – you know, going to go get Stephon Diggs to have him join Tank Dell and Nico
Lost
Collins.
Your damn mind.
That's the same type of energy.
Except you're going to be paying CD probably like $30 million.
Yeah, it's the same type of energy. It's going to cost more, but that's the same type of energy to me. Yeah, no, I'd absolutely say yes, they would do it if it makes sense for them.
How do you feel about the D-line? Going around the NFL with B. Scott here on In the Loop Sports Radio 60. How do you feel about the D-line?
I'm feeling a little bit better just over time. Maybe some of it has to do with watching that last Colts game, the last regular season game of Malik Collins not necessarily being as good as maybe I remembered him being. Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson on the edges, I feel like you can figure out in the middle. And it's the thing that I'm most intrigued by with the draft, not just, hey, what do they do with those top picks, but where does the defensive tackle come from?
So you're not sitting here saying, man, they really got to get a D lineman. You're not there.
I think they should get one, but I don't think it's like...
But you're not like dying for it.
No.
All right, here's D'Amico
Ryans. They don't have a position like that for me.
Here's D'Amico talking about what he expects from D linemen as they look at adding guys.
With our defensive tackles position, what we're looking for, you know, we play in an attack style front, and we want guys who can attack. We want guys, you can do that no matter the size, right? You talk about... Is there a certain size you're looking for? I've seen guys do it at 280, 290. I've seen guys do it at 315. So there's a different range for different types of players. It's all about our guys just being explosive up front and being able to do what we're asking them to do.
Yeah, one thing I don't necessarily believe there is that the size doesn't matter. I do think he prefers a bigger defensive line.
You think he prefers bigger? Like how big? Like Sweat?
Well, I don't know if that's we're talking about a whole different category.
Well, I'm talking about just size.
Is he big or is he gargantuan? Like, I'm talking about normal big, like Hassan Ridgeway last year, the dude that they had last year, 6'3", yeah. I forget how
he
exactly.
Might be back, right?
He was only on a 1-year deal. So keep a lookout for that. Tore his Achilles, had an injury before that, but he was by far an easy. This is kind of an underrated storyline. But he was by far their biggest interior defensive lineman. And he only played, three, maybe five games started. I think he only played like a few games. So they could bring him back. And he could be somebody that's a rotational piece and is somebody that we did not see a lot of last year.
Yeah, I don't know if that's like a thing that you rely on. I mean,
he's going to be a rotational piece last year, too. Yeah. Like, it's just another guy out there has got the background with D'Amico, right? Played it in San Francisco the year before. Started for a really good defense at times. So,
yeah. I just think that sometimes you get greedy. The pieces around can lead you to be okay with a rotation of D linemen. I think you can be okay with it. But who knows? There is a guy that is a popular name. His name's Braden Fisk. He played at Florida State. Here was him on NFL Network talking about what he feels he brings to the table. I'm actually kind of intrigued to hear what you think about him because he kind of seems to be, I want to say polarizing, but he seems to be a popular name that Texans fans like to discuss. Here is Fisk on NFL Network.
I think a lot of the question marks was, can he play against the better competition or whatever you want to call it? Yeah. But for one, it's surreal. Just the opportunity. You walk into these buildings, you're like, this is everything you dreamed of, everything you've been waiting for. And I mean, that's the surreal part. But, it's just just grateful. I mean, just gratitude of the whole situation is, you know, kind of the biggest part of it. But, you know, keep my head down and keep working, because this is just like the beginning of the process. You know, there's going to be a lot more that comes with this. You know, we still got to get on a team. Still got to make teams. Still got to play ball. And that's what I'm looking forward to.
I'm not as big on this guy as a lot of people are.
Yeah, I feel like the only thing...
Dude, he was in college for 6 years.
For 6 years, and the only thing...
5 years, and then he went to Florida State.
The only thing that I...
Maybe as like their third draft pick, but not the first. I don't want him at 42.
No, absolutely not. 42.
And I'm not trying to go at Moby Okoye where it's like, what a good pick, because he's 19.
It just seems like there should be too many good players. Like, I almost would rather take the best receiver available over him at 42. And we've already talked about that kind of being a position of luxury. Just don't sleep on it. But the only thing that intrigues me about this dude is literally the size. Pause. Like, he's 6'5", 300 pounds. And I do feel like that is more along the lines of what D'Amico wants, despite what he said in the clip that we played earlier. So, like, I'm intrigued by him being a bigger body, but just based off of what he accomplished the 1 year at Florida State.
He did kill the Senior Bowl, though. They do like guys who kill Senior Bowls.
He was
apparently having a pretty good time at the Senior Bowl.
That's going to benefit him. That is going to benefit him for sure. They're into the Senior Bowl. You ever listen to John Harris talk about this, man, the Texans as a collective are Senior Bowl guys. So, yeah.
Yeah, don't get John Harris started on a Senior Bowl. No. You get him out there in a special teams practice, my God.
Working a jugs machine.
Man, he's sitting there breaking down gunners and all that.
He was the one that had me wanting to draft a wide receiver. I mean, he was talking about wide receivers that I hadn't even heard of before that were going to be available late, that could be available to them. This is when they still had a first-round pick. Like, yo, it's got to be receiver.
I got John Harris on tomorrow, the stream, 10:30.
Oh, that's gonna be good.
Draft Mania.
That is gonna be good.
We're gonna go through it all.
Perhaps the best draft mind that you got locally. Certainly like top 2-3, gotta be. If not the best.
Yeah. No doubt. For sure. Wide receiver, polarizing position. Right now the talk is Marvin Harrison Jr. the top wide receiver. C.J. Stroud played with him. Here was C.J. Stroud. Chancellor Jay, KPRC. He asked the question about wide receiver one. I think you know what C.J. Stroud thinks about Marvin Harrison and where he stands.
Put on the tape. He's done it from really his freshman year, his true freshman year, to now. I think I read something like he's NFL ready, but other guys have more potential. That makes no sense. Like, what? Like, if you're NFL ready, how is that not potential? You know, like, you want longevity. You want somebody who's been doing it, you know, and for him, that's what he sleeps, eats, and he breathes. You know, he's a worldly talent, but also his work ethic and, you know, how he gravitates, like, that room. For me, I mean, I think I would love to play with him again. I know I probably won't get that opportunity for a while, but you know, I'm super, super proud of him. And man, who's up there, man, be smart, don't be dumb. Don't think too hard.
All right, there you go.
I didn't catch that for a while part in the first time.
I heard that. What is he thinking? Is Marvin Harrison gonna whine his way to Houston? What if there's like a trade up?
Yeah, hey,
Texans trading up for Marvin Harrison Jr.
Hey, I'm
another trade with the Cardinals, another draft day trade.
I would not.
Yes, you would. That's expensive.
Oh, dude. It would be the dumbest thing ever that would get me as excited as hell. I'd be like, what the hell are the Texans doing? Now, where's my Marvin Harrison Jr.
Jersey
or T-shirt?
How weird would that?
Dude, I'd be criticizing it and celebrating it all at the same damn time.
You don't look like your dad at all, right?
Not at all.
Yeah.
Well, underrated. My dad's lighter than I am. If you make me lighter or make him darker, we look a lot more alike.
Yeah, y'all don't look alike.
And then I got the dreadlocks too. So
yeah,
cut my hair though, you'll see it's the same head and funny ears, big feet. I got his traits or his attributes. We just don't look alike in the face.
I say that because Marvin Harrison Jr. I mean, if you would have just shown me that kid, even when he had the long hair. And you wouldn't have said anything about it. I would have said that is Marvin Harrison's son.
Yeah.
It is. I don't think I've ever seen a kid look as much like his dad as Marvin Harrison Jr. does Marvin Harrison Sr.
Ooh.
Ever.
Ooh, this is a good one. Hey, he probably doesn't know the Leverts, huh? Eddie and Gerald. Gerald Levert looked like Eddie Levert, I thought.
Yeah.
That's one.
Yeah.
From the OJs. But I had to go back. I mean... How long has Gerald LeVert been dead? Like 20 years? Yeah. I had to go back. That's a good one.
Name another athlete father son that look like damn twins like that.
So it's not father son, but the brothers. I feel like Eli and the Cooper?
Yeah.
I feel like Eli and Cooper look like just whatever their age difference is, but they look a lot alike. They're drawn from Archie, but they don't look exactly like him. But they look like spitting image to me.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it is kind of wild.
Coming up next, the NFL, they make an interesting decision. They make a business decision that leads to the following question. Where are the most underrated places to get drunk? Next.
I got the internet going nuts.
All right, NFL's made an interesting business decision. We'll get to it in a sec. First, we got to give some respect to a man who is retiring at the age of 85 years old. His name is John Sterling. He is the voice of the New York Yankees. He's known for his really, really entertaining calls and setting the scene. Let's just remember some of the work of the great John Sterling.
Grounded to short. Didi, the pitch to Duffy, is grounded to short. Didi feels and throws to first in time. Ball game over. Yankees win. The Yankees win. And Masahiro Tanaka pitches a complete game shutout and a beauty, giving up only 3 hits, 1 walk, and striking out 9. The sun will come out, Tanaka. Bet your bottom dollar with Tanaka. The sun will shine. Anyway, Tanaka pitches a complete game shutout. What a great effort.
Dude,
yeah.
Let me hear some more of this.
Dude,
imagine just driving in your car in New York traffic listening to this.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to get out.
Yeah, it's good.
It's DJ LeMay who steps up to the plate. Stepping up to the microphone is the voice of the New York Yankees. Here is John Sterling.
Well, Susan, I thank you. And once again, good evening, everyone. Now, let's see if the Yankees can make it 2 straight over Houston. And this is the game because they have their best pitcher going in Gerrit Cole. Although, as Susan told you, they're facing a very good pitcher in Zach Greinke.
Greinke?
That's the same.
Dude. And the emphasis. I'm with it, man.
I just imagine being in a taxi listening to that.
I can't tell you how many times I've actually bit the Yankees win thing for whatever team I was talking about.
The Yankees lose in 2017.
Oh, yeah, I did that on WFAN with Summers. That's right. Yeah. That was
pretty good.
I told him what was up. Let's hear him one more time, John Sterling.
I'd like to say thanks to all of our listeners who listen faithfully all around the world. And you are a great audience. We love you so much. And just turn on your radio beginning in March. and we'll be back with you with all the exhibition games and then the 162-game regular season. And hopefully the playoffs. Hopefully all the way to the World Series. Anyway, on behalf of Susan and Matt Shortis, this is John Sterling. Have a good night. The WFAN New York Yankees Radio Network.
Yeah, I don't know how you replace that, but yeah, damn sure try, I guess.
Honestly, and I don't know if I should be saying this in our business, but baseball play-by-play on the radio doesn't hit the same unless, like to me, just because of technology, you can Bluetooth, you can actually watch the game if you want. But if you sound like that, if you're bringing that type of energy, I feel like that's going to be timeless.
Yeah, pretty wild. Shout out to John Sterling. Screw the Yankees, but shout out to him.
I got the internet going nuts.
All right, so the NFL has a business deal. The official grill and bar of the NFL is Applebee's. Applebee's will be the official bar of the NFL, which leads a lot of people to laugh. But I will say this. Back in my day,
I ain't never complained.
Going to Applebee's with those dollar drafts and $1.50 Long Island iced teas, if you found the right situation and you had those half-price apps, it was an underrated place to get smashed and get full. What are your underrated places to get smashed and get full?
Oh, man, you're taking me back to a time. So Applebee's, I'll never forget the summer of 2007. One of my homegirls got a job at the Applebee's that they had just built off of West 18th.
Okay.
And we were in that bad boy, cutting up, acting the fool as much as you could think of. But my place, even before that, my homie worked, Double Dave's. We had a Double Dave's.
The pitchers.
Man, we had a Double Dave's.
They had a pitcher special on Tuesday, Thursday.
Hey, 34th and Ella.
Yeah.
We used to
be. They had multiple draft beers.
There.
They had like five different draft beers. I think pitchers back in my college days were like $3 on Tuesdays or something like that.
But what I'm saying is.
But you stay there and you just post up and eat the pizza.
The home, not just that.
They still have one on Westheimer.
Dude, we would get.
Best buffet in town on Sundays.
We would get stoned on the back deck and then just make a pizza. My buddy worked there.
Ooh-wee.
So it's like they would let us smoke in the back. And then just let us cook the pizza.
They're just taking it too far now.
It was good. Well, it's obviously closed down now. Been closed down for a long time. But for that little small era, for that little period of time, it was definitely 100% the Double Dave's on 34th and Ella. Shout out to that whole
Double
little crew.
Double Dave's, man.
Man, it was good days.
Double Dave's goes in. They always got the crazy pizza of the week, too. It's always our pizza of the month. What do you think their pizza of the month is right now? Like, they'll have like a pickle pizza. That Double Dave's on Westheimer, man. That buffet. Ooh-wee. Okay, it's a chicken Florentini pizza.
Ooh.
I don't know about this. Hand-tossed crust, Alfredo sauce, chicken, garlic, spinach, mozzarella, bacon, diced tomato.
I'm intrigued.
That sounds nice.
I'm not saying it's great, but I'm intrigued.
I'm intrigued if it's a slice on the buffet. I'm not wasting a whole pie on that.
Well, I feel that. I mean, all I'm doing is the buffet, though.
Like, and then the pepperoni rolls? Did you mess with the pepperoni rolls?
Oh, what?
The salad bar's the freshest.
What?
They got Diet Dr. Pepper, which is rare.
Come on, man.
Don't threaten me with Double Dave's.
Good times,
I don't like eating buffets, though, and really. Like, I would drink the beer, but, like, we'd unload on a few pitchers, but I'm not really, like, a buffet and get drunk.
Yeah.
See, and, but you're just hanging out. You're just a lingerer.
And we weren't drinking. We didn't want to get people in too much trouble, so we weren't drinking at the time. Everybody was under 21. So we weren't trying to get anybody put in jail or anything like that, except, I guess, for the weed in the back. But nobody was paying as much attention to that.
I think Chili's is underrated if you go to the right one. Chili's is underrated.
All depends on the franchise.
Get smashed at. You can get, it definitely depends on the franchise.
For sure.
Chili's,
I was at Chili's when Jose Altuve hit the home run off of Aroldis Chapman in 2019. Was at a Chili's, almost jumped on top of the bar. Was that excited?
Any Mexican restaurant, obviously.
Yes.
No doubt. Someone's talking about Pluckers. That's common sense. I mean, that's just a lifestyle right there.
But is that a place you go to get smashed and full?
Come on. Are you kidding? What?
Yeah. I'm talking about.
I feel like Figgy's Pluckers different than us.
I thought y'all was talking about under the radar.
No.
Affordable.
Pluckers is public.
Let's be real. Pluckers is a little pricey as far as compared to the other ones y'all was naming.
Hey, I got the one for y'all, man, if y'all haven't checked it out. It's the Pistoleros in Montrose. That's the one.
There's a
Pistoleros in Montrose.
There's an underrated spot. I think we went there once. The Texadelphia.
Oh, yes.
Off of 10 right there.
Yes.
No one's ever there.
Yes, that's a good
one. It's a bar. They got the big beers. They always got specials. That's an underrated spot to go.
I haven't been on that for a long
time. Just consume the game. Hey,
that's a good one.
No doubt. Really Texadelphia will get you. Some people say Bennigan's. What happened to Bennigan's?
Oh, yeah. There used to be one off of 290.
What happened to Cheddar's, man?
There's still some Cheddar's around. They're just far.
There's not enough. Why did Cheddar's never get the love they got?
Oh, man. Me and my family used to be faithful Cheddar's people.
The brothers love Cheddar's, don't they?
Oh, man, we'd be in there. Birthdays, it would be Cheddar's.
I remember Derek Foreman, Day-Day Foreman, Deontay Foreman's dad, my guy. He used to always take chicks to Cheddar's. This guy was old, dude, just taking out girls. His date spot was Cheddar's. Take him to Cheddar's. Took her to Cheddar's last night. Took her to Cheddar's.
Yeah, I feel like you got to drive like out to Spring or somewhere crazy like to find a Cheddar's. Are there any within a reasonable distance to the Loop?
No, I mean, they're not as frequent as they should be. Chili's, man. Chili's is.
See, Chili's can be hit or miss,
no,
though.
It's
like
hit
it can
or miss.
Be it can be great.
Oh, it's been missing a lot.
It's almost like Burger King.
It's been missing a lot, too.
Like, you can go to find a great Burger King and find one that's trash. Chili's is a lot like that. Last time I went to one, there were like I don't know if they were understaffed, but it was like three tables that hadn't been bussed, and they sat me right next to them, and I'm like, ooh, this is not a good sign. This is not.
I think I know which one you're talking
this
about.
This is not a good sign.
I think I know which one you're talking about.
I'm just saying. I ain't saying, but I am saying.
I think I know the one. It happens.
I got the internet going nuts.
It's internet going nuts here on In the Loop on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, when I say this, how does it make you feel? And CJ Stroud and D'Amico Ryans try to make you feel good about the Texans' newest wide receiver. That's next.
Thank you, Figgy.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
CJ Stroud on Stephon Diggs. First words that we've heard from a Texans player about Diggs. Here was CJ Stroud talking about what it's like, or what it's going to be like, what he anticipates it being like when he gets to throw to number one.
I was very excited. I met him at the Pro Bowl, you know, just got to meet each other, got to meet his kids and, you know, to see what type of person he was and, you know, just been able to grow our relationship from there. You know, it was really cool just to be able to not only go from that scene to now him being a teammate of mine and just really excited to get to work with him. He has a ton of value, you know, to that room, a wisdom that he carries that I think he'll spread to the other guys. And, you know, he's been really reaching out to really everybody, you know, and I think that whole room in general is going to be great. I think we're all going to eat off each other, you know. It's going to be very fun and very exciting, you know, just to work with everybody in that room, and I'm very excited for it.
I'm excited to see how the Texans handle drama. And I'm not even saying that the drama is necessarily going to be overly combative, and I don't even think that it's going to come from Stephon Diggs, but the more success you have, the more drama you have to deal with, whether it's having to decide to franchise tag a player, whether it's being more willing to bring in drama. With success comes drama. Right now, we're still in the early phases, but eventually they are going to have to deal with drama, and I'm not dying for it, but it's inevitable. And I am intrigued to see how D'Amico Ryans handles it.
Yeah, I feel like they got the right leadership in place. Not to give you a cliche, but I think they legit have the right leadership in place to deal with drama. But I got an instigating question that I'm definitely not going to ask Stephon Diggs, but I would like to ask.
Oh, why?
I got an instigating question. Okay. After hearing CJ, I just thought of it. I feel like it needs to be asked and or answered.
All right, what is it?
Hey, Stephon, how do you anticipate it'll feel not having to carry a quarterback for the first time in your career?
Come on. You think he thinks he carried Josh Allen? He did kind of hit it on Twitter.
I don't think that, but I 100% think that Stephon Diggs thinks that.
Why don't you just ask him, what do you notice the difference is between CJ Stroud and Josh Allen? Yeah. That's on a T right there.
There it is.
Yeah.
Well, you know, one of them's got a little more charisma. You know, kind of seems like he's actually, I don't know.
CJ is a leader.
Yeah.
That's all it takes. CJ is a leader.
Hey, what's the difference between
CJ and, or what do you notice the difference between CJ and Josh Allen? Well, one of them, you know, sticks with the plays, you know, actually throws me the ball, knows what he's doing with the ball.
He's a strong leader.
Knows what he's doing with the ball pre-snap and post-snap. I can see that.
Do you leave your phone on when you go to bed? Or do you put it on D&D?
Yeah, I don't get as many phone calls as CJ Stroud does. Yeah.
Do you leave your phone on?
I leave it on silent. It's always on silent.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't need to put it on Do Not Disturb because I don't have a problem with just not answering.
Okay.
Yeah. Well,
so, like, I'll see it and just be like, nah, I'm good.
CJ apparently has his on Do Not Disturb, and that was the case when the Texans acquired previously mentioned Stephon Diggs.
Found out I was actually asleep. I've been in the West Coast. I've been back home in L.A., so I was knocked out, and I keep my phone on Do Not Disturb. I get a lot of phone calls. and so I didn't really know, and I woke up, and my boy Chase B texted me, and he's like, how you feeling, bro? And I'm good, fam, how are you? So, like, and then I had sent, like, five texts like that, and then I woke up for real. This time I was kind of like halfway texting in the bed. Woke up, brushed my teeth, washed my face, you know, and then I seen the news, and I seen it on like Instagram. I'm like, oh shoot, that's what they talking about. So I didn't even tell Chase B or anybody like that. That was what I was implying, which is really just checking. I thought he was checking up on me, but it was cool. You know, it was really fun to see that. And
you think he had an idea they were gonna do it though?
I mean,
how does this did they just acquire Stephon Diggs and then he finds out on Instagram? Or do you think, I mean, throughout the process, and it does, there's clues that lead you to believe.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. Yeah. I think
heading
it's the
in that direction. You think he had an idea?
Yeah. I think
it was going to happen.
I think between the context clues and the fact that he's got a line on the people in charge, like if he wants to just call up Nick or just call up D'Amico and be like, hey, what y'all thinking? What y'all got cooking up? I feel like he can do that. If he was interested, then I'm sure he had the information. But, you know, the thing that I didn't factor in was how early it was where he was at, West Coast. Like,
it was 8.
Maybe he had a sense for what was happening.
8 o'clock West Coast now?
Yeah, it was 8 West Coast. Yeah, so remember, it was 10 here. Yeah. We found out the news broke from Shefty at 9:52.
Yeah.
So it was what, 7:52?
Yeah, so that makes sense. So that makes sense for him to be asleep. But did he maybe have a sense for or a feeling that they might be big game hunting, if you will, in the wide receiver market? I feel like he had a good sense for it.
He had to have known.
I mean, if we had a sense for it, we didn't know that the Stephon
Diggs thing. I didn't think that was happening.
But we did have, and I feel like y'all did a great job of this on the show. Like, hey,
what is Casario up to?
What's he up to, man?
Yeah.
They've made all these moves.
Seen the Keenan Allen stuff fall through. So.
And the Armstead and then the clearing of the space. We did feel like something was up, but I did not. I'll be honest. I did not think Stephon Diggs.
I didn't know he was going to get traded.
I didn't think Buffalo would trade him here.
Yeah, I didn't think so because they got a big cap hit.
Well, we did know that there was drama there last year. And I know every time somebody on our text line or on the YouTube page or anybody suggested Stephon Diggs,
I was dismissive.
We would we were either dismissive or we would recoil. Be like, ah, man, that ain't happening. We don't want that. And then, lo and behold,
it went down.
Yeah.
D'Amico Ryans, your thoughts on this whole thing going down? You're going to have to coach him. It's your locker room. How do you feel about it, sir?
Yeah, with Diggs, adding him is one of those guys I talked about. He's a great player in this league for a long time, well-respected. He's been a great teammate. He's been a leader, a captain. When you look at him and you watch the tape and you put it on, you know, no one doubts the playmaker that he is, right? He changes games for the teams that he's been a part of, and we're anticipating the same thing for us.
How did the first the discussions, how did that come about? Like, how was the idea to possibly get on Diggs' barn? How did that come about?
With the discussions of players adding to our team, there are many discussions of many players and many different angles to take. So I won't go into all the details on, you know, all the discussions there.
Last season, he started out really hot, and then down the stretch, he didn't eclipse over 100 yards. What made you guys comfortable that what he started off with in 2023 was more of who he is versus what he kind of put production-wise?
Yeah, again, when we watch the tape on Stephon and the playmaker that he is, right, we always go back to the tape and we look at a player in totality. We don't look at, you know, this amount of weeks or those weeks. We look at the entire season. We look at the guy's entire career and what he's done, how he's been productive. The guy's been an all-pro player. He's been a Pro Bowl player, over 1,000 yards for multiple seasons. So we're excited about adding Diggs to our team.
I mean, the offensive coordinator has been kind of an easy explanation for that. I mean, I don't know if it's 100% the reason, but the change in the offensive coordinator, it's not like some sort of random thing as far as the production. That was DJ Bienname with that question.
And none of the, you know, film watchers, if you listen to them talk about Stephon Diggs, none
real
of them,
ones or fake ones? There's a lot of fake ones.
No, the real ones out there. If you listen to them talk, they'll be like,
watch the YouTube highlights and they watch the tape
or just rewatch the game, like the TV copy of the way I've been doing the last couple years.
Yeah.
Like not those guys. The people that actually break down the all 22 and all of that, they'll tell you.
Which I ain't one of those.
There is not a clear drop off in physical ability from Stephon Diggs. It just, you know, there's a number of reasons you can explain why production dips. It can be the offensive coordinator. It could just be the game plan, how it works out. But to D'Amico's point and his answer, he's like, hey, this guy has an overall body of work, right? He's got earlier in that season. He's been good for, you know, the last 6-7 seasons or whatever it's been. Like, we're not going to just put all of our eggs in this last few weeks basket and be like, okay, he's washed now. Like, I feel like the greater body of work of his career is going to tell you more about Stephon Diggs than just how that season ended.
I just can't wait to hear from him, man. I don't like to go back to this too much, but just can't wait to hear from him.
Feels like it's past time.
Well,
past time to hear from my man.
Got to wait to May.
Yeah, well, sure.
J.J. Watt.
Yeah, look forward to it, man.
Yeah.
Appreciate you, JJ, for providing that. What, and their ninth hype video up yet for the uniforms? Five hype videos in an hour yesterday?
I don't think they did that on purpose, man.
Okay.
I don't think they did
five in an hour? Really?
Man, we still got till Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, man.
I could just see the admin over there like, damn it, I meant to schedule that for the next day. They went back to back.
They could add Monday through Friday. Like, yeah. They laid it all out there. I think it was six in literally an hour and a half.
Not to be too nerdy about social media strategy, but y'all think about, we all do social media around here. Would it have made sense if you were going to drop that many videos in that short time?
Why do you need another video after a 15-minute?
Well, but if you're going to do it, didn't it make sense to have done that in a thread? It's all about the same topic. It's all done within an hour and a half of each other.
That would make more sense.
They could have just dropped that thing as a thread. The fact that they're all separate videos, and I know this is kind of a little nitty-gritty social media stuff, but the fact that they're all separate posts makes me honestly wonder if they meant to do that.
Felt like T-Mill was tweeting at 2 a.m., man. All those consecutive tweets.
Tweeting you pics.
DoorDash Whataburger.
Oh, yeah, that one.
That's right.
When's the last time you DoorDash fast food?
Best decision ever.
Did you ever DoorDash fast food?
Fast food? No. Once I go, I DoorDash a lot. But since I do, I try to get, like, the closest thing to fast food, I would say, would be like, is like Wingstop is not considered yet. Wingstop, Mambo's, Mambo Seafood.
You know what fast means?
I'm just saying.
I mean, it's worth the wait, but, man, you need to call ahead there.
I'm just saying. I'm trying to think. I don't think I've done fast.
How do you feel about this O-line? This Texans O-line.
Nervous.
CJ says it all starts up front. I don't know how that makes me feel, man.
I
don't feel awesome about that when I hear him say that.
I don't think he's wrong, in which case it makes me nervous. I don't know how you can feel another way.
They got to figure something out at O-line. They got to figure something out at tight end. They need more. They need a lot more than what they got. So we'll just keep a close eye on that. And maybe they surprise us on draft day. Maybe they address the O-line.
Do you think that if the guard position, here's how I'm looking at it. If they can solve guard, and I'm not going to pretend right now to have the solution at guard right now. I don't have that for you. But if they can solve it, whether it be Kenyon Green, whether it be another dude that's already on the roster, whether it's somebody that they draft within the next few days.
Worried about Kenyon, man.
But if they can solve left guard,
that'd be great.
Do you feel a lot better about the offensive line?
Yes,
because
then we can put Scruggs at center and we can figure some stuff out.
So I feel like that's what we're really talking about when we talk about the nerves and how we feel about the offensive line.
I don't know if Titus is great. I don't feel
Yo, if you tell me that you're not moving Titus this year to no guard positions and he's going to actually play tackle, I'm going to feel way, way, way more comfortable about that.
But I mean, I don't know how good is he?
He ain't got to be great. He's good. He's a solid tackle.
Okay.
We just forgot about it because they had his ass playing guard for so long. Every other year, he plays guard, and it helps you forget that he plays tackle. Think about it. Every other year, my man has played guard. Every other year. Let him play the same position for 2 years in a row, you might feel a little bit differently about my man.
See. I mean, when you tell me it all starts up front, that doesn't excite me. That's all I'm saying when it comes to the Texans. It just really doesn't excite me.
Makes me nervous.
Sorry.
I agree with a lot of what you said, Brandon. I do. They got to let him play tackle.
Yeah.
And not at the position they signed him for. But I will be damned. He got to be better than just solid.
Yeah, I mean, he's a top five highest paid right tackle in the league.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's a little semantics at this point. If he's a solid right tackle, all right, I'm not so caught up on him. Hey, he's got to be value dollar for what you're paying him. But if he's a solid right tackle for you, then to me, it's worth it. It's worth the investment.
Well, that's weird. That's a weird way to look at things.
I mean, how damn good do we have to be?
I mean,
he should be
better than solid.
Okay. So, what do y'all think he has been? Right?
I don't know.
If he is consistent with what he has been, which is solid, then I'm fine with it.
The whole point I'm making, and we'll have plenty of time to evaluate. The whole point I'm making is with what they have invested in the offensive line, when C.J. Stroud goes up there and says it all starts out up front, it should make me feel a little better than I do when he says that. That's my point. Clint Sterner, Ron Hughley here. That's all I'm saying is with what they've invested, when he says that, I should be like, all right, well, there we go.
When CJ says it, and then when Bobby says it, and when D'Amico says it, it's like that's going to be that's the number one story of the season, right? Is how good is this offensive line? And it's not, we like to make it about the left guard position and one particular first round guy that seems to be a bust, but in reality, there's a lot more to it than that, right? Do we really know anything about the center position?
Well, that's
to y'all's point. Do we really know what the hell's going on at right tackle?
But when did we – this is the part that I don't get, and I feel like Landry is kind of the catalyst for this. Because my man had to play guard so much, we just forgot what he looked like at tackle. Like, when did we sour –
he was there.
But what I'm saying, when did we sour on Titus Howard as a tackle to where we're like, oh, he better be this or he better be that? He ain't never been bad at tackle to me.
Oh, I agree.
I've not been sour on him. What I'm saying is when you make the investment that you make in him and you make him a top five right tackle in the league, I would expect beyond solid.
We might be splitting hairs. I need him to be what he's been at tackle.
If he's as good,
whatever that is,
this has been my thing, and this is what Lopez has said. If he's as good as they paid him, then he should have never moved to guard in the first place. And I think we can agree on that. That's what's confusing to me.
That is real. That should have never happened.
Because if it made sense for him to switch to guard and play the way he did, then I don't see how you can tell me that he's as good at right tackle as you're paying. Maybe it's just me being confused.
Yeah, I think that's it. Because that was less about what he looked like at tackle and more about the fact that they didn't have no guards.
They were wrong about him playing guard. That never made sense. I was going to pay you $18 million, but George Fant is playing so well, man. We got to hold you here.
Can George Fant play guard?
And despite how bad you are playing right here at this guard thing, and we're seeing, like, I think he'd have still been playing guard if he never got hurt.
If he'd have played better.
There's a chance
Fant would still be here and he'd be a guard.
But I'm talking about through the season, as bad as he was at guard, I think the only thing that got him out at guard and Juice Scruggs in was his injury. I think they would have kept trying to ride with that.
But that's more of a guard problem.
Yeah.
We don't have no guards.
Titus Howard, for me, it's still a potential deal. I hadn't seen enough right tackle to be like that he's – no doubt about it, worth the money they paid him. I mean, that's a top right tackle in this league.
I know
the potential is there. We've seen flashes, but I'm not going to go to bat right now and stand on the table.
But when they paid him that, did your expectation change for what his performance?
Well, when they paid him that, I believe a big reason that they paid him that is because he could play guard, or at least at the time they thought he was a better guard than he showed to be.
That's terrible.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.